Hey, America! Start listening now!
All right, listen. We've done like 700 episodes now, and it's finally time. We're finally listening to Eric, and we're finally going to cover Dora the Explorer. So grab your backpacks.
Eric.
What's up?
I think you got the notes a little bit screwed up. We're talking about Andorra.
And who? And welcome to another no swiping episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country where it hasn't happened yet, but it's gonna. I'm Eric.
I'm intrigued.
And I'm Samantha.
I can do a different one if you want.
No, I like that, actually, because that could mean anything.
It could mean anything.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so who is Andorra?
You tell me.
Oh, all right, fine. I lied. It was a bit. It was a joke we did for humor.
What? Us? Yeah, humor? That'll be a first.
I don't think I've ever actually watched Dora the Explorer. I mean, I'm in my 40s. Like, there's no reason for me to have done so, but I don't think I have. Have you guys seen Dora the Explorer?
Nope.
Yeah. No, just random memes making fun of Dora the Explorer.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. I was even too old for the Blues Clues generation. Like, we're old, dude. We're old.
Yeah.
There was an actress named Anne Doran. Yeah. Couldn't find an Andorra, though. Well,
quiz show. Well, Charles Andorra.
Wasn't Andorra like Samantha's mother on Bewitched?
I thought that was like Eudora.
Eudora.
Might be Eudora. I don't know. I might be thinking of something else. Speaking of something else, Sam, let's tell them how folks can let us know their favorite Dora episodes. And before we get into Andorra, whatever that is.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. If you have a favorite Dora the Explorer episode, or what's the spinoff, like Go Miguel Go or something like that?
Diego.
Go Diego Go. Go Diego Go. Yeah.
I know a lot about a show I haven't seen.
Yeah, this is weird. Yeah. This is weird. I mean, this is what happens when you get like a couple of trivia friends into a room together, or, you know, a StreamYard. Anyway, you at home can join in the craziness through all the standard social media outlets, 12 Points USA, or just email us directly at 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise on our Redbubble page, or you can support us with a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi, or a sustained monthly donation via Patreon. Whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. Like, we've recently been doing these fun sort of trivia chats that we often recorded after a main session. Those often get shunted over to Patreon. For fun little stuff like that, check us out over there. And if not, that's cool too. We're just happy that you're here. Tell a friend. So, yes. Yeah.
Please tell a friend. Tell your gayest friend. That has the highest chance of success, probably. Anyway.
Hopefully Danny's listening.
Yeah. Hi, Danny.
We miss you, Danny.
We miss you, Danny. Anyway. Danny will be around.
He will.
He's taking a siesta. Can you say, Andorra.
Andorra.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Andorra. We got a couple Eurovision news bits to talk about. Obviously, it's September, which means Happy New Year, everyone.
Woo!
It also means that not a lot has happened.
Normally we'll get like a little bit of trickling news coming in when it comes to, maybe a country will announce a name, certainly super early. Maybe a song might get released. I feel like Musti was a very early name when he was announced. I feel like Slimane was super early when he was announced. I feel like even Conchita, when she was announced as the artist, was super, super early. Haven't had that yet. But again, by saying that, we are recording this on Monday, September 8th. I guarantee you something's going to happen on Tuesday, September 9th, because that's just the way things go with us. And if that does happen, then you'll just have to catch up with us on the next episode, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, until then, we don't really have a ton of news. We already knew it was going to be in Vienna. We knew the dates. We have countries who are saying they're in, saying they're not in for this year, one of which we'll talk about as our main topic. Sorry, Andorra, one of these years will be back. But at this point, it's just a lot of wait and see. Wait for all the pieces to fall into place, whatever direction they may fall. We did have a little bit of information. This is sort of an inside baseball kind of a thing going on. Less to do with the music and the show itself, but more with the sort of inner infrastructure of the show. And this is something that, Eric, you brought to our attention earlier today. Do you want to talk about what you saw the BBC talking about earlier today?
No.
Well, fine.
I'll do it. So the BBC, and again, you know, there's always talk at this time of year, especially the last few years, about, you know, like Sam said, certain things falling into place, and until anything's official, it's kind of difficult to speculate on. But this came from the BBC itself, which is that they are changing how they do their televote, and it will not involve any tele whatsoever. it's going to be all online. You use your, I think, like your BBC account, because you need to have like the license for that, and you have an account that gives you all the online content and that sort
access,
of thing.
Access to iPlayer, and I guess,
as,
and all that.
Yes, yeah. as a citizen of the United Kingdom, and it's going to go through that, and I think that's really interesting, because and this isn't something that every country can do, I wouldn't think, but this really seems like a simple way to make sure you have a truly local televote. Whereas when you're going just on credit cards, you just need a British credit card.
Right.
You can live anywhere. But as far as I can tell, this is something you need to be living in Britain to be able to do. And that's pretty cool. This seems more difficult to, you know, we've talked about the way that the televote has kind of been easy to
play with
a little bit. Yeah. And so this seems good. I am curious to see, as I am with other statements and things, you know, is this the start of something, or is this something that a country is doing? But I know the televote was one of the biggest questions coming out of Basel. It was certainly one of our questions, looking at the way televote scores come in and all that. This seems like a step in a positive direction.
And I mean, it should be said that this isn't something that the BBC is just doing for Eurovision. This is something that they're doing across the depth and breadth of their sort of public vote based programming, like things like Strictly or I don't know what else is on UK TV right now.
Strictly, they mentioned at least one other thing. I assume Taskmaster and
God, can you imagine if we could vote
Bake Off?
Because what we really need is the public deciding more things.
You know what? If the public could vote for the Great British Bake Off, then Kim Joy would have won the first time around. I'm just going to put that out there. Kim Joy was robbed. It's been like 5 years, but I'm still not over this. Kim Joy was robbed. Anyway.
Okay. The other example they gave was the BBC Sports Personality of the Year, which I also think it's interesting that, and I guess we don't know what the financial structure of this is going to be. Are they still going to be charging a euro or a pound or a shilling or
some pre-decimalization currency?
Yeah, some sort of dowry per vote. But it's interesting that I mean, one of the defenses, right or wrong, of the system that is currently in place is that it's extremely lucrative. Like charging per vote, you're getting $20 or 20 quid or anyway, you're getting 20 of something for everyone that's watching the show practically.
Yeah. Assuming that they're all using all 20 of their votes, which I feel like a lot do.
I mean, we know how many, hundreds of millions of people watch this, like not everybody votes, but like a lot of votes come in. This system makes a lot of money. It is unclear how much money the BBC is giving up necessarily by switching to this. They did note that the old system also cost a lot more money to run. So the upkeep cost is ostensibly also going down.
Yeah,
we're going into the 21st century here, basically.
Dude, we're a quarter of the way through the 21st century, buddy.
Shut up.
Sorry.
That's not true, and you should stop saying it.
No, I'm sorry. It's okay. I'm the worst. No, I mean, it in terms of streamlining things, it really does make sense from a BBC like production perspective. If you had a group of people already doing an online vote and other people calling it, and then you're running two systems, it costs money. There's, you know, ways that things get screwed up. It's, you know, a timing issue. It's just easier this way. And I think it's the way that maybe in the future other nations will go as well. I don't know if every nation is going to have a system as sort of streamlined and sophisticated as what the BBC currently has. It seems like they're already, the bones of this is already somewhat in place. They're just kind of transitioning entirely into an online voting system as opposed to the call or text. But I mean, change is part of this. I mean, I remember hearing about old national finals where you would have to send your vote in on the back of a postcard, you know?
Awesome.
I know.
We should do that.
Well, yeah, check in a week.
We'll find out who won Eurovision in a couple of months. You guys just enjoy those songs. And yep. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mail-in voting. No one hates mail-in voting. Anyway. What else we got? One of the best places on earth, Asia. Am I wrong? Yeah, I didn't think so.
I mean, no, but...
The note just says Asia. Eurovision Asia.
Yeah.
We're not actually, to the surprise of no one, this is not actually a real thing.
I mean, we thought it was for a brief shining moment until the EBU said, no, this isn't happening. Or if it is, they're not really ready to tell us about it. But our dear friends.
Refer you to the meaning of the E.
Right. Well, our dear friends over at Bhutan's national television seem to think that there was something going on. And, you know, the nation that gave the world gross national happiness was, for a little brief shining moment, spreading a bit of happiness to Eurovision fans the world over by starting up a national final for a contest that seems to not be happening officially. They had multiple episodes of the show, Drukja, basically a song for Bhutan. Timpu Vision, like what would that be?
Timpu Vision. I like
Timpu
it.
Timpu Vision, yeah. No, Drukja. And it was great for those moments that it was still up on YouTube and people were watching it. They were actually multiple shows that were up, and it seemed to have been canceled right before the final episode was going to air, quote unquote, selecting the singer for Bhutan to go to Eurovision Asia, which again, the EBU has been very cagey on. Is this happening? Is this not happening? We're developing it, but nothing's happening. Somehow somebody in Bhutan missed the memo.
I love
and
this.
And they had like five episodes of Drukja.
I love this so much. So you're telling me that Bhutan Vision died on the way back to its home planet?
Oh.
Also,
we're not going to poochie Drukja.
It also sounds to me like this had more structural, despite being canceled before it was over, had more structural consistency than the American Song Contest.
It really did.
Amazing.
It really did. And they were kind enough to have it like half in Dzongkha, like half in the Bhutanese language, Dzongkha, and half in English. Like they actually had two commentators going. Like they were like really marketing it to us,
the world.
To weirdos like us.
They know their audience. That audience is weirdos.
Somebody, supposedly one of the contestants who had made it to the final had said, all right, it's not canceled. It's been postponed. So maybe we will have eventually an answer to the question of who won Drukja 2025. Or this might be in the same bucket as who won Eurovision 2020 for all time. Either way, Bhutan, just keep being you and your yak butter tea and your gross national happiness and your impossibly adorable royal couple. Like, you just keep being you. I want to go to there.
I love this so much. I think that more countries should just have national finals. What's it for? I don't know.
Fun.
I mean, it's sort of like Kosovo has their Festival I Kungis of Kosovo. For a Eurovision that they're not part of yet, but they're setting up the mm-hmm. you know, if the day should come, they're ready.
They work their buns off on that too. Like
they
it,
do.
It really, really looks good. Hungary still does a national final.
Yeah, so it's still a doll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just doesn't go anywhere. That's fine. Just keep doing stuff. You can just do things.
Yeah.
It's great. Everyone just do stuff.
I mean, Albania was doing Festival of Kungas for literally decades before they joined Eurovision. Yeah.
Start planting those seeds.
Yes, exactly.
Except anyway. You, America. You know. You know what you did. Anyway, let's see. I don't think Eurovision Asia is going to be a thing anytime even remotely soon.
We'll always have Jerk Draw.
I'm amazed that we're just going to keep dunking on it, I guess. But I'm amazed that the American Song Contest actually did happen, sort of, because Eurovision Latin America, Eurovision Asia, you know, these things. I am. This is reverse psychology. EBU, you know you're not going to do these things. Why do you keep saying you're going to do these things? Do you want to do these things, EBU?
Blink twice if you want to do these things, EBU.
It definitely seems like this would work in any country other than the United States. Like Taskmaster.
Oh, why can't we have good things?
Because we're dumb.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are dumb, what else? We got
what about the socials?
Yeah,
we've already plugged the socials anyway. Yeah.
We got Junior Eurovision, which I don't actually think is dumb. It is a thing that has done online voting for years, and it has worked fine. I'll put that out there. Anyway, we do have some junior news, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do. We do have confirmation that Azerbaijan is returning to the song contest. They last participated in 2021. Happy to see any returning nation. We don't have any information on their singer or song yet, but we assume that's going to be coming in the next couple of whiles. Montenegro has announced their act. They will be represented by 13-year-old Asia Djogovic. Again, don't know her song yet, but happy to have her joining the fray. And San Marino has also announced their artist. They're going to be represented by 12-year-old Marina Cervelin, who goes by, Martina Cervelin, who just goes by Martina CRV. My apologies, Martina. I'll get this right next time.
Good old Honda CRV.
Oh. Anyway, her song is called Beyond the Stars. It has not been released quite yet. Of course, when it comes out, we will let you know. And a little bit of other news, not Junior Eurovision, but another corollary song contest that we happen to love on the show. I didn't put this in the notes. It looks like due to some sort of a logistics issue, the date for the Pan-Arctic Vision Song Contest, which is going to be held in Iqaluit. It was originally supposed to be in October. It has now been moved to November 29th, right after Thanksgiving for you American listeners, way after Thanksgiving for you Canadian listeners, because you have a different Thanksgiving than us. But yes, as any Americans who are still digesting their turkey and recovering from any injuries sustained at Black Friday sales, you can curl up on the sofa on Saturday, November 29th, and watch Pan-Arctic Vision Edition 3 from Iqaluit, Nunavut, Canada. I love this. We've talked about this on the show a number of times. You can find last year's edition on YouTube very easily. It is brilliant. Highly, highly, highly recommended. I've also just started watching North of North on Netflix, which takes place in Nunavut. And it's just
that show's great. Yeah,
it's wonderful. I'm only like three episodes in, so no spoilers. But
I was going to ask, what is North of North?
Evidently, it's Ice Cove Nunavut, which doesn't actually exist. But yes. So I'm very much looking forward to scoping out what Iqaluit is going to serve up this year. So yeah, November 29th. We of course will talk about that more as we get closer to that. They generally don't release the songs prior to the show. So, you know, maybe more of a post show than a pre-show, but either way, we will be hyping this up as it comes closer. So yeah, seriously, folks, if you haven't watched Pan-Arctic Vision, do it.
Yeah, it's great. I'm excited to read their national anthem thing again.
Oh, yes.
Because I think it makes some really good points.
It does. It does.
About where you can, like, stick things. Yeah.
any show that literally will have a vote about whether to exclude people's votes.
That's right.
I think is amazing. Again, watch Panarchy Vision 2024 for the full information there. But yeah, it's brilliant. All right. Are we ready to hop into our main topic? Speaking of underrepresented communities in music competitions?
Absolutely.
All right. So, Andorra.
Oh, it's a country.
Yes. Oh.
God, I knew that. Dang it.
Yeah, you did. So, yes, we're going to dive into a country that sadly has announced that they are not planning on returning for 2026. They've been teasing for a couple of years that they're trying to scrape the money together. It just hasn't panned out yet, despite fans, you know, wishing them back. We haven't had them since 2009. We're talking Andorra.
Yes.
The little country that, I was going to say the little country that could, but it seems like on their track record, oh, I hate to say it, but they are the only nation to have never appeared at a Eurovision Grand Final, despite having appeared in six semifinals. It just, the timing didn't work out. They just, they came close. They came close
like once.
They came 12th once, like. Yeah.
Yes. The little country that kind of tried.
Kind of tried. Oh, bless their
hearts. I don't understand why. No, that's not true. I do kind of understand why. Part of it is we were all televote in those days, just about. Right. And as we've seen with countries that have no friends, it is difficult to for these tiny countries to get through a semifinal when there's no jury to help them out. They really need the jury.
Yeah.
EBU, do you really want to go without the jury in the semifinals again? Do I need to reverse psychology this too? Juries.
I mean, they also had some other things going against them, I would say. While we love linguistic diversity here, Andorra is the only nation that has Catalan as its sole official language, which means they were performing almost all of their songs primarily in Catalan, which is a related language, of course. It's a Romance language related to Spanish, related to French, related to Italian. But unless you're living in Catalonia or a very small part of France, chances are it's not going to be directly intelligible. So you also had a bit of a linguistic uphill climb when it comes to having that cross-border understanding. But yeah, they popped into the contest for the very first time in 2004 and were there every single year until 2009. And then they just buggered off, much to everybody's chagrin. As we've said, the best that they did in their semifinal was in 2007 with the song Salving Amon by Anonymous. We do know who they are, but the band was Anonymous. Unfortunately, and this is also in the time of only one semifinal. They didn't split things up until the following year. And it's, you know, very possible they could have made it through the following year. But unfortunately, the deck stacked against them in many, many ways, and they just couldn't break through to the grand final.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Derek, you are actually in a sort of a special point of view. You have special information that out of the three of us, you have actually been to Andorra.
Indeed, I have.
Do tell. What was it like? What was the vibe? What was it? What would you do up there? What would you recommend if somebody went to Andorra for the first time? What were some of the highlights for you?
I should probably preface this by saying I went with an organized tour, and it was during the summer, focused on hiking and biking in the mountains for like a week, which was a hell of a lot of fun. But I would say just kind of a general impression that I had. We stayed in Soldu, which is kind of on the eastern side of the country.
Soldu, the town.
Yeah, the entire town is just hotels and maybe restaurants, and that's it. There's like no houses or anything.
It's like Wisconsin Dells.
It's basically the entire country is kind of a ski resort, and like the hotel we stayed in was like 3,000 meters above sea level. Like straight off, you're already way up there.
Oh wow!
And it just goes up from there. And there were days we'd go hiking and we'd get up so high. I remember just walking a few feet and just gasping for air because the air was so thin up there.
Wow.
It's wild. but just absolutely gorgeous, like just the most beautiful scenery. And you're hiking along and then there's ski lifts kind of poking out of the ground and signs for like, you know, green squares and black diamonds. And you're just kind of marching. Just a lot of duty free shops if you get into like the city itself, Andorra, mm-hmm. Which is like a very pleasant little almost Swiss town. I don't think either of you have been to Bern, but it kind of reminded me of that a lot. Mm-hmm. In terms of like architecture and style.
That very sort of mountainous, what you would find in the Alps, only it's in the Pyrenees instead.
Yeah, it felt very similar to the Alps. I felt a lot more Spanish influence in the country, but it didn't feel like you were in Spain, which was weird. I came in through the French side, so I stayed in Toulouse for a couple of days, which is also amazing if you ever get down there. If you're thinking about going to Andorra, if you go in the winter, you're basically going to go skiing. If you're going in the summer, you're basically going hiking. And that's kind of it. Not that it's not worth it, but those are the things to do there.
You go there for nature, not necessarily. Yeah. It's not the place to go for a big city break.
No. There's not like big art museums and stuff like that. I'm sure there are art museums, but not like the kind you see in like a major city. Mm. I mean, just really gorgeous, really nice, really pleasant people, really chill.
How was the food?
So the place we stayed cooked all of our food for us. Oh. I think we only went out to eat like once or twice. And I could not tell you what we had because it was like 8 years ago. I feel like it was not generic, but like grilled chicken and potatoes and vegetables. And there wasn't something like, oh, this is very Spanish or very French. Very it was all really good. Yeah. So,
yeah.
As a quick aside, Sam, I know you know the answer to this. I'm curious, Derek, if you do. You mentioned like the green square black diamond system for ski slope difficulty. Do you know who created that system?
Oh, I heard this and it was something weird and like you wouldn't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny Bono.
No.
That's God. Ouch. Shouldn't have said ouch. it's Walt Disney.
That's what? Right.
So they were trying to do a resort version of Disneyland or something like that. It might have even been before Disneyland, I don't remember. But they basically he came up with it as part of like these are the features that this resort will have, and they ended up never even making it, but somehow that idea caught on, and there we go. Yeah, Walt Disney came up with that.
Wow.
And it's universal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like it works so well because you don't need to really know any language.
Yeah, it's just these visual interpretations of very cool.
Yeah. Andorra.
Andorra.
So I want to point out a couple things really quick. I just sort of stat-motroned my way through here.
Stat-motron.
So over the course of their entire existence, Andorra has received 157 points or something like that, I believe. Not a ton. That's not a lot of points. 54 of those points came from Spain. On average, Spain gave them more than 10 points per opportunity, which is one of the highest averages. And it's a small sample size, but it's one of the highest averages in history in terms of country X giving points to country Y is Spain to Andorra. That's interesting to me. They had five opportunities to vote for them. I think in one of the last times they were maybe in the other semi and weren't able to, but the other five of the six times that Andorra was in this thing, Spain was able to vote for them, and vote they did. they got their support from there. Other countries, I mean, there's, you know, they gave them a few points once, maybe twice. It's really unfortunate. I would also like to bring up the first song they ever recorded, or ever recorded their first Eurovision song, "Jugarem a Estimarnos." Mm-hmm. I'm probably saying several of those letters wrong.
You're not too far off. "Jugarem a Estimarnos." Okay, I took a semester of Catalan while I was on my study abroad, but it was I was in Chile already like trying to absorb as much Spanish as I could. And then I took the extra step of taking Catalan
in Chile.
Yeah, it was like,
I mean, Chile is cool. Like I believe it.
It was a Catalan culture and language course that I think was a cooperation between like the University of Chile and like the Institut Ramon Llull or something like that, a Catalan interest group. So I don't remember very much. I can say, you know, what time does the bakery close? And I like meat, you know. It's really a quina hora tanca el forn?
That's important, though, you know, that's an important thing to ask.
It is.
Anyway, this song's title means pretend we love each other.
Yeah.
And that's an insane title. Especially when it's your first Eurovision entry ever.
It was a bop.
I looked at the lyrics and it was just like, listen, I know we don't love each other, but what if we did? And we just made everyone think we did. And we did all the things as though we were in love, but we're not.
Isn't that just the first season of Bridgerton?
I mean, it's not as bad as I would say Denmark's Let's Practice
on
Each Other.
Practice on Each Other. Yes. Yes.
Well, considering
that's one of my favorite moments in the history of this show was learning that in real time while we were recording. Was like, that's what that means? Oh my God. Yeah, that was great.
Well, I mean, considering that the translation of the song the second year was La Mirada Interior, which means the look inside, which I'm sure is just a metaphorical look inside. But like, I like to think of just Marianne Vandeval talking about her interest in x-rays.
Yeah.
Or like CAT scans.
We don't have enough songs about CAT scans. That's
I know.
Sure.
It's true. It's really true. Anyway, what other information were you able to glean from the Statmotron on our friends in Andorra?
Well, like you said, they're the only country to have participated in Eurovision but not been in a final, which is sort of a crazy thing to think about. Like, there are countries that struggle a ton. San Marino, Montenegro, they make the final every once in a while. Andorra, again, they only did 6 years, 2004 to 2009, but they never made it.
Yeah.
They never came super close. The song from 2007 was 12th place. They were like 11 points shy of qualifying, so it wasn't even like,
yeah, it was close. And they were a favorite to qualify early. Like, that was a year that I did watch live, one of the first years that I watched in full live, and there was a lot of disappointment from what I could tell among the fan base that they didn't make it through. The song is a bop.
I mean, yeah, we'll get to that. I feel like if there was ever a song that seemed like it would stick out and make it to a final, it would be that one. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the songs that qualified in front of it, and I don't remember some of them. So,
well, I think in the grand scheme of Eurovision, that's not so unusual.
Yeah. But I think in terms of what Salvaje Amon would have brought to the contest, it was something that was actually current. It was that sort of early noughties pop punk that I think if it had been in English would have really, really crossed over. I mean, it was partially in English. It was bilingual, but
it had memorable English parts.
It did. It did. Another interesting thing about Andorra at the contest is like other small nations that have participated, like San Marino, like Monaco, like Luxembourg, even though they have sent Luxembourgish artists since they've returned. They've often had to outsource. You know, this is a nation with what, 80 some odd thousand people altogether. It's not a big country, but they have made sure that everybody who's participated has had some sort of a connection either to Andorra or to the Catalan speaking community of Spain, or they are foreign born residents of Andorra. So it's not that they're just completely, you know, calling up Flo Rida. it's you know, despite having a small representation, like I said, there have been six acts. Two of the acts have been Andorran born, Marta in 2004 and Anonymous in 2007. Two were foreign born residents of Andorra, Marianne Vandeval, who I believe is Dutch, well, with the name Vandeval, you know, chances are Dutch, from 2005, and Suzanne Georgie from Denmark in 2009, both of whom had moved to Andorra and created a life there. And then the other two acts, Jenny in 2006 and Gisela in 2008, are Spanish, but they are Catalan speakers. Gisela is from Catalonia, and I think Jenny had been educated in Catalonia even though she was from a different
Black portion. Pink.
Yes, because that is the only Jenny that has ever existed. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's from the block.
She really gets around, doesn't she?
She does.
Yeah.
Anyway, the
And like but yeah, but Gisella in particular has really also really championed the Catalan language. She's the voice of Elsa in Frozen, the overdubs in both European Spanish as well as Catalan have been from Gisella. So yeah, which I think is pretty cool. Yeah.
All right. So Andorra teases coming back a fair amount. I think Jenny, like we said, from the block, and some of the other former Eurovision acts have really campaigned to try and get them back in the contest.
Yeah, Suzanne Giorgi in particular has really championed getting them back.
Tried to get a sponsor. I mean, officially, it's money, as it generally is. If we can just get a sponsor to pay for everything, then Andorra can just go. And I know it's not actually that simple, but I would be fine with Pepsi Presents Andorra if it meant getting them back. I know there was some talk, an Andorran radio station within the last year or so reported that there was maybe some talk with a Catalan broadcaster, a sort of like a partnership to bring Andorra back with the help of this big, I assume in Barcelona, broadcaster that does Catalan language programming specifically. They have since said they didn't say those rumors weren't true. They have said that they are not working with them now. Officially, I don't know if that didn't work out or was just never true or what, but they've said we are still not participating. We are not working with this other broadcaster to make it happen. But who knows? Things change.
Things do.
But
we can dream.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what kind of GoFundMe I need to contribute to. Like, I wish there was just one big pot that Andorra could pull from, that Bosnia and Herzegovina could pull from, that any other country saying, oh, yeah, we're having money troubles, that the fans could just crowdsource. I would love that.
Well, it's my understanding that the cost to do Eurovision is at least somewhat based on your budget, that like the bigger countries are subsidizing the smaller countries, but that doesn't make it free for the smaller countries. So
right.
You need people in certain positions that really want to make it happen, I think.
Plus the government itself, you know.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Not just the broadcaster, but the actual government
in those positions as well. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, like circling back. I mean, circling back to a topic that we had before about Hungary having a doll, but they're not participating. Like, I'd heard something floating around the news saying that the opposition candidate in one of Hungary's major elections is saying, "Hey, if you elect me and my party, I'll get us back into Eurovision." I'm like, "Come on, I am a Jerosha. Come on."
I feel anyway. Like we talked about this before in terms of like cost and whatnot. If there was some kind of for countries, if they wanted to come back or wanted to enter for the first time, there'd be some sort of waiver or some sort of incentivizing to get them to join, maybe in just the first year, and then say, okay, if you come back and this is successful and, you know, your local audience is into it, we can kind of discuss ongoing contracting. But like the first year, it's like, okay, we'll give you a slight discount. We can afford to, I don't know, give you a stipend or something.
The first hit of Eurovision's free.
Maybe not free, but I think for some countries, though, if it comes down to money, to say, like, if you're really hesitating to pull the trigger and come, we'd rather have you here than not have you at all, even if we have to eat some of the cost to do it. I don't know if that discussion's happening behind the scenes. Probably, maybe not. I don't know. But I think it would benefit them more often, especially now that our numbers are sort of, you know, we got up to like 43 and now we're kind of down to 37, 38 again.
And again, we don't know what the numbers for 2026 are going to be. Again, ongoing discussions that are well above our pay grade.
That could go a number of ways.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like. I mean, we should bring on someone from like the Luxembourg delegation and talk to them about what that was like, getting them back. Because that was out of nowhere. And it was announced the day of the final in 2023. That's like, oh, yeah, by the way, Luxembourg is back next year. And they made a big thing out of it.
That was fantastic.
And like, I'd like to know what went into that. Let's find out. We'll do a journalism again. All right. So there are only six songs. to choose from. So we thought doing top five would be
ridiculous,
difficult. Yeah.
I just have one question, really quick, before we get into our rankings. Do we know who Andorra voted for?
Yes.
On average?
Yes, we do.
Because you mentioned they got a lot of points from Spain. I'm kind of curious, where did their points go if they're not voting for Spain?
Well, I think a lot of them did go to Spain. 10 points on average to Spain in those votes. They also gave 9 points on average to Portugal.
Okay.
In the years they were around. They gave a good number of points to Monaco. Kind of makes sense. Fairly close, also fairly small. They can be buddies. Good number of points to Ukraine, although this is an area when I think everybody did. They were on a pretty good run for some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then rounding out the top five was Finland. They gave a lot of points on average to Finland.
Interesting that they tended to give more to Finland and Ukraine than they did to France, their other neighbor.
France is eighth in terms of their average.
Okay.
But that's a ways down. That's about 4.3 points per opportunity. That's semis and finals combined. Just every instance in which they could have given a country points. They gave Spain about as many as Spain gave them. It was a good system they had going.
Very Greco-Cypriot.
Yes. Honestly, yes.
Yeah.
I'm
just imagining the Bishop of Urgell at the time, and whoever would have been the president of France. Would that have been Sarkozy, maybe? Just, you know, having bets, you know, calling each other on the... Because you know the structure of Andorra, that it's... You guys probably
technically
do,
run by the heads of state of France and Spain.
Well, no. It's the head of state of France, yes, but it's the Bishop of the Seu d'Urgell, which is a bishopric in Catalonia. Just happens to be the co-prince of Andorra.
You get to also be Andorra's god. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Spain and Portugal are the, I mean, and I think, Derek, you said when you were there, it definitely didn't feel especially French. I mean, I think culturally, yeah, it's a very Catalonian. So
I don't know. Catalonian is very separate from Spain, kind of proper.
It is
influences, yeah, but they sort of see themselves. Hasn't there been like conversations about Catalonia like seceding or something?
Oh, there's always separatist movement. Yeah,
I think there was a successful vote, and then Spain was like, "Well, you can't."
Right,
if I remember that you can't. They kind of have to both agree to that, but no, they're pretty separatist. They're yeah, but not so much that they vote for France over Spain or whatever. All right. Top three Andorran songs of all time. Why don't we start with me? My third place, I want to note right away, just make this clear. This is a distant third. I had two easy picks, and then I was like, oh God, I don't know. But my third place goes to Suzanne Giorgi, La Teva di Sisio, Get a Life, as it's called. The biggest evangelist in the world for Andorra's return, which is really cool. And then I like the staging of this. I thought it was just really fun. And that was a year where the stage was gigantic, and a lot of things seemed weird as a result of that. But I thought they did a pretty good job with it. And this was the last one.
Yeah,
it was the end of it. So that bums me out, but I thought it was pretty good. Derek, what about you?
I was a bit taken in by Marta Rore. I'm going to butcher every one of these.
It's like Spanish in the fact that you do pronounce everything that's written, basically. It's not like French where you chop off half the consonants.
Yeah, again, I never studied Spanish, studied French, so this is going to be gosh. Worse.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu, mon dieu. I think the thing that kind of intrigued me about this one is their debut entry. I feel like they came in with something really strange. Kind of reminds me of Azerbaijan's entry from the first time they ever joined. They just like, let's just go for broke and do something really crazy. And some people were probably looking at it like, what the hell is this? I'm really taken in by the story on this one. I thought the narrative was really fascinating. This idea, like, let's pretend to be lovers. We don't know each other, but let's do all the things that lovers do. And it's such an odd premise for a song that I was just sort of fascinated by it. Because, you know, every year we get all these love songs and breakup songs. And I thought, here's something that's just kind of different and weird and exploring sort of a different emotional element. So yeah, I had to give him some credit for that. That's my number three.
It was my number three as well, 2004. Yo quiero estimarnos. Yeah, it's, I mean, even beyond the actual, the narrative of it and that twist, it was just a fun song. And you could tell how much they were really putting their heart into it for this first time that they were on this massive Eurovision stage, you know, the full choreography, but that still felt very accessible and fun. And it was just a nice little enjoyable pop song that should have done a hell of a lot better than 18th in its semi. Eric, what do you have as your number two?
My number two is Marianne Vandeval, La Mirada Interior. This feels like it was kind of catching the wave that Every Way That I Can and Wild Dances had started, sort of that the ethnopop thing that really became popular in the mid-2000s. And I think it's a really good version of it. It builds well. By the end, you've got some crazy stuff going on stage and things like that. It's watching some of these performances made me think, like, Andorra really did know how to play the game. It didn't seem like they're just sending, you know, crappy ballads or things that aren't going to connect with people. They were sending stuff that was the sort of thing people liked, and people didn't like it for one reason or another. It didn't work, I guess, is what it comes down to. Yeah. But I liked this one was really fun.
And it's also something to be noted that oftentimes Eurovision fans do love and appreciate returning acts and returning songs and like kind of callbacks to older favorites. One of the backing singers for La Mirada Interior was a singer named Anabel Conde, who actually represented Spain in 1995 and came in second place.
Huh.
So this, if you watch back, the background singer who is absolutely wailing on the high notes at the very end of the song and is like really giving it 120%, that was Anabel.
Hmm. And that couldn't get him across the line.
That couldn't get him across the finish line. Also, just like go back and watch her performance in 1995, because my God, the girl has a voice.
Don't tell me what to do. Derek, what do you think?
Well, fine, screw you too. Derek, you go. Oh
boy, some hostility. Wow. Over Andorra, of all places.
Right.
This country ain't big enough for the both of us.
It really isn't.
My number two was Suzanne Giorgi's La Teva Deliciosa, or The Delicious Television. I thought this one was a lot of fun. I thought the staging was actually really cool. I remember watching the Russian semifinals and thinking, good Lord, this stage is huge. So much so that in a few cases, it just swallows up the entire performance. And this one, I thought they did a good job with it. And I kind of going off of what you guys were talking about, how Eric said they played the game well. I thought their staging was pretty consistently good. They put a lot of energy into it and a lot of passion. So, you know, it is a shame it didn't translate. I thought this one super catchy. Again, not doing anything really out of the box, but, you know, a lot of fun. I have another one I want to talk about, but I won't do that just yet. Sam?
My second place was also La Teva Decision. Suzanne Giorgi, again, her continued passion for bringing Andorra back into the contest is really, really wonderful to see, especially considering this is not her home nation. She was, she's from Denmark. She actually competed in the, I want to say 2007 Danish national final with her sister. And actually I had been familiar with her work previously. Her and her sister were part of a dance pop duo called Me and My. And as somebody who played a lot of DDR, a lot of Dance Dance Revolution back in college, their song Doopy Doop, I made an ass out of myself on a DDR thing many, many times to her voice. So yes, she was very familiar to me. And I should have been a little bit bitter considering that there was also the fact that Andorra had enough push and as much enthusiasm nationally to actually hold national finals was amazing. And in 2009, there was actually another song in the national final that I loved even more, Luis Cartes with the song Exhaust. And I should have been bitter that Suzanne Giorgi took it in the end. But at the end of the day, she was wonderful and fabulous. And the song was fun and breezy and catchy. And she was so engaging. The staging was wonderful. And it just didn't get there. It just wasn't enough.
I cannot believe, Sam, that I was not the only person to have a Dance Dance Revolution reference in the chamber for this week. because my number one is the DDR-ass background having song from 2007, Up, Down, Left, Right. It's Salvem el Món, or Save the World. Is that
yep.
right?
Yep.
By Anonymous.
Or Let's Save the World, yeah.
Yeah. We'll never know who did this song. this is, I mean, they're the Blink-182 of Andorra. What more do you want? Like, this was super, super fun. If I had to pinpoint a spot where I think it maybe lost the points it needed, it was in the last chorus when one of the non-lead vocalists was doing a harmony thing, and there was a note, and he missed it. The vocals live got a little bit sketchy at the end. But, oh my God. How has there never been anything else like this?
Oh, gosh. I mean,
I understand pop punk is a very North American thing, but like stuff gets over there. You know, Avril Lavigne was on TV in Spain or whatever, I'm sure. Like, I'm surprised that at this time in musical history, there weren't more things like this.
I mean, keep in mind, like 2007 was sort of an early year for countries sending rock acts. Like, we had only had Hard Rock Hallelujah the year before.
Yeah, this is coming off of Lordi, yes.
Yeah, so I think a lot more countries were empowered to go beyond just the ballad and the pop and like actually bring something that kicked a little bit of ass.
Fair enough. That's, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm very curious if we all have the same number one, and I suspect we might. Derek?
We don't. Ooh. My number one is. I'm not big on the pop punk thing, even when it was American.
Fair enough.
Just not a phase I went through. I'm not saying it's a bad song. I thought it was catchy. I, like you said, the live version I thought was a little eh. Actually, this is where I put Marianne Vanderwall. My number one. And I think it's because I am super into the ethno pop kind of sound. And the two previous winners we had before this, again, Any Way That I Can and Wild Dances, it makes perfect sense that they would send a song like this. I know she's Dutch.
Speaking of my number one, look at what won that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People were still into, we're still really into this.
Mm. You're still into it. So, you know, I thought it was really cool. I thought it was well staged. I thought she sang it well. I mean, it's a little dated, but I think this one kind of stood out to me. I remember, so kind of speaking more broadly, now that we've sort of revealed all mine, I thought all of their songs were pretty good. I feel like there wasn't one that really had that it factor, though, that would really grab an audience and really get those votes like they needed to sort of transcend that bias or apathy that the audience would have towards an Andorran song in general. Mm. And it's a shame they didn't kind of get their footing, because I feel like they were really close in a number of cases. But yeah, so this one was my number one. I also want to shout out... why am I blanking on the name now? I want to make sure I say it right. Oh, yeah. Sensei 2, if you're really into ass.
It's got it.
I was going through, and I was just like, oh, boy, here we go.
It's me, Slovania, from the other direction.
I mean, it's just, it was pretty borderline, I think, even for the time.
It's a little surprising. Sam, fellow fan of something corporate, what could you have possibly picked?
Big surprise that I put Anonymous 2007 Salvem el Món. The song's a bop. It's right in my wheelhouse. It brings me right back to my high school and college tastes in music. And It was fun. It was so catchy. It was perfectly suited for that time. And it broke my heart that it didn't make it through. I think for me in 2007, that was the year that that was the song that I was most busted up about, that it didn't qualify. So, I mean, what else could I say that hasn't already been said? Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah, it's great. Which means our scoring for this little mini grouping. 2 points going to 2004, Jugarem Estimarnos. 5 points each for 2005 and 2009. And 2007 takes the win with 6 points. So a rather close grouping. There. Again, there are only the three of us doing this. I will say we had, this is a country that never really took a major victory, even though it has tons and tons of potential and tons of heart. And I think in a different year, it could have done it. Or in another set of years with another set of rules, it could have potentially had more success. I don't want to say that Andorra left Eurovision completely empty-handed, because they won a Barbara Dex Award 1 year.
Oh, is it from the Butts song?
It's not from the Butts song.
What?
It's not the Butts. If you were to guess what year they won the now defunct Barbara Dex Award for most interesting fashion choices, what would you?
Well, I would have picked. I would have picked that one.
You would have picked the Butts?
Lingerie Girls? Really?
It was not the Lingerie Girls.
Okay.
It's not even the ugliest outfit.
What would you have guessed?
I don't know. I don't know.
As much as it breaks my heart to say it, it's our girl Gisella Casanova from 2008 with the bronze Playboy bunny.
Okay.
Like every year that could have.
Yeah, so it's
crazy.
I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, it's kind of crazy to me talking about this. I feel like one of the things I noticed, I was watching all of their live performances at the semis, it's like they really leaned into like the sexiness, sexy pops kind of stylings. There was a lot of like sexy clothing, sexy dancing, oiled up shirtless men and women in lingerie. Having been there, I wouldn't have said, yeah, it's a very sex forward or sex positive, comfortable country. It just kind of felt very casual. So sort of surprising to see that, like, this is how we're going to represent ourselves, is like this sex positive kind of staging. It's interesting to see how they approached it that way.
I think it was some sort of an act of rebellion against the iron fist of the Bishop of Urgell.
I mean, maybe, who knows?
Yeah, no, I mean, I never really thought about it, but yeah, they did tend to, you know, TNA it up a little bit. It wasn't quite as egregious as some other countries, but I think... Yeah, that was maybe I just didn't remember that as much as I thought.
I think having watched all of them in a row, it sort of like stood out to me.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I hadn't thought of it before.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't expecting it. Like after seeing the first couple of songs, and then all of a sudden it's like,
songs really... about butts.
Yeah. All right. Take us home, Sam.
All right. Well, you folks at home, what are your fond memories of Andorra at Eurovision? Did you have a favorite song? Would you like to see them back? What would you like to see? If they did come back, what do you think it would take for them to push through and make it to a Saturday night show? What does Andorra have to do? Damn it. Andorra, if you're listening, we miss you. We love you. Suzanne, Georgie, keep fighting the good fight. We're right there with you. Let us know how we can help. And you can reach out to us and let us know how we can help by just emailing us at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com or just reaching out to us on socials. We're on basically everything at 12pointsUSA. Again, we are so grateful that you have decided to join us, especially as we have the dawn of a new Eurovision year just behind us. We are so looking forward to seeing what 2026 has to offer. We might be taking a mild break, maybe just a week off, some rejiggering, because Eric is running off on his honeymoon.
That's true. I'm leaving for my honeymoon.
He'll be back.
I'll be back.
I know you're tempted not to come back, but...
I mean...
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Well, you are heading to a couple of lovely destinations, so yes. any of our Roman or Maltese friends, if you happen to see an Eric-looking person wandering your streets...
Yeah, it might actually be me. Yes. Don't be alarmed. It's okay.
Brace yourselves.
I don't bite at first.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll leave you with that image. But until then, until our next episode, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
and America.
Stop listening now.